This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 1000 by 2020 update. But before we get started, just touching base with you guys again, hoping you're doing well. Hope you guys are well. Hope that nobody is sick out there. I know that it seemed like to be a big surge here in the coronavirus. I'm hoping that you guys are all okay. Also, I'm hoping that you're doing well in your real estate process, whether you're still in the educational stage and doing the research and listening to podcasts, reading books, and just getting familiar with what's required of real estate investing, or whether you are already actively investing and moving forward. Either way, I want to encourage you. I see some great opportunities ahead. There may be some amazing opportunities in the next year or so. Keep your eyes on the podcast. Yeah, I don't know why your eyes would be there, but maybe your ears. Maybe you keep your ears on the podcast. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to our tip of the week. How's that? Okay. How's that for a transition, huh? Okay. This one is today's tip, or should I say this week's tip, is don't run out of cash. I know it sounds like an obvious one, but hey, picture this. You've bought and sold your first house and made a nice profit. You're in the middle of your second rehab and you're purchasing your third deal. Your marketing is paying off as the fourth deal comes around. It promises even more profits than the first three. But now you got a problem. You've run out of cash. You can't buy that fourth deal or any other good deal that comes down the line until you rehab and sell the second and the third houses. This is the old cash crunch, and don't let it happen to you. You should be putting down a small amount of money as possible when you're purchasing your investment properties. You want to use leverage and other people's money to your advantage and accumulate as much property as you can while using as much of other people's money as possible. Now, how do you do it? One of the ways you do that is by establishing a relationship with a good hard money lender as soon as possible. Sure, the money costs you more, but you'll factor the cost into the deal when you make your offer, so your profit is still where you want it to be. Hard money lenders have an endless flow of cash that they will be happy to lend to you as long as you can bring them deals that make sense. They don't care about your credit history. They care about the numbers and the quality of the deal. The value of the property, of course, because that's what they're hedging on, right? Is if this falls through, that they at least have the property, right? A hard money lender will lend you up to 65% of the after repair value of the property. So if you've got something you're building up and hope to make a good profit on, I mean, you can finance 100% of what you're trying to do, and the profit will just come after you sell it. If you're negotiating the right types of deals, this should be all the money you need to purchase the house and do the repairs. If your numbers are not working out, perhaps you're focusing on the wrong type of sellers. Remember, you should only be focusing on motivated sellers, people who, for one reason or another, must sell their property in a short period of time. Develop effective methods to have these sellers consistently contact you and you're on your way to becoming wealthy. Okay. Well, that's a compliments of our friend Dave Lindahl. He has a great little piece called 23 Most Costly Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. So you definitely don't want to run out of money, whether you're investing in single family homes, fix and flips, or whatever it may be, or multifamily. You always got to make sure you've got that excess cash there that you need to do the things you need to move forward. Well, let's go on to our topic, 1000 by 2020 update. Now, for those of you that are familiar with this show, been listening for a while, you know that early on when we started this podcast, I set a goal. And that goal was to acquire 1000 units or doors in 6 years. Okay, now the questionable part of it is, when did I really start the goal? Well, technically, I announced the goal in 2016. So, 6 years after that would be like 2012. But what I did is I counted the first couple of years that I actually started investing. And I first started investing in 2014. So I, looked from that point on as sort of my time. And that's where I came up with 1000 by 2020, because I had already been investing before I made that goal. And initially, the goal was pretty simple, is that I would double the number of units that I have each year. And I started off at initially, my first investment is I purchased 4 doors. So I bought a duplex. Actually, what did I do? A duplex and 2 single-family homes. Single-family home in Atlanta, and a duplex and a single-family home in Memphis. And this is when I was still living in Haiti. So I, literally hopped on a plane, flew over, purchased those properties, and flew back home. Once I started, I realized, wow, this is really great. I mean, I'm making money the next month because I had tenants in there. The homes were already rehabbed. I didn't have to do anything. They were turnkey properties. But if you listen to the show for a long time, you'll know that it was not seamless. There definitely were some challenges as we moved down the road of real estate success here. But I did pretty much stick to that idea of doubling the number of units up to a certain point. And I think when I really hit sort of a wall there is when it came to 2016. And at that point, prices were going up on properties. I was always buying under market value and having sort of that built-in equity. And I had this pretty firm criteria. I didn't want to buy anything at market price. And if for those of you that have been investing since 2016, it got harder and harder to find things that were under market value. So that put me in kind of a quandary, and I was still pursued and properties, and I was making LOI offers and sticking to my plan. But the idea in the beginning really was create a goal that you want to obtain that may be more than you can achieve. But I would rather try to achieve that, maybe make 80% of that goal, than not make any of that goal. But I'll share with you later what ultimately happened. But what I think one of the key things here is putting together a good plan. And I'm really big into putting together a workable strategic plan, sort of a living document that you're constantly updating. You're refining it as time goes on, and each year it gets better and better because you have tested strategies that you're using that you can count on more and more from year to year. So I knew that I had to, start off at least with a goal that made sense. But before I really locked down that goal, the first thing I had to do was to determine my why. And I've talked about this, and I'll have a link to the episode where I actually specifically talk about the importance of knowing your why. This is a key concept that Simon Sinek actually addressed in his fantastic book called Start With Why. They really can't start planning. You really can't start developing goals or going after a plan without a good why, without really identifying what that is. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but the idea is without a good why, in other words, why are you investing in real estate in the first place? You got to know that. And should you even be investing in real estate in the first place. It's got to make sense, and it's got to be something that motivates you, that why. Because without the why, you probably won't be that motivated, and you'd be more likely to just sort of drop the goal. And I also think that it's important, too, when times get tough, it's that why that gets you over those rough periods. And believe me, there will be rough periods. If you haven't started investing yet, you will experience that. If you are an investor, you probably already know that there are those tough things that you're going to have to deal with. But when you have a strong why, it helps you to persevere even all the more. Also, I think it helps too to help you figure out what kind of strategy is going to work best for you. You know, should I be flipping? Should I be wholesaling? Should I be investing in deeds or in trusts? Should I be buying mobile home parks or commercial properties or apartments or whatever it may be? That will help you determine what you need to get to that goal. And again, I wouldn't recommend to most people to try to do what I'm doing, 1,000 units in 6 years. I mean, that's crazy. It's way more than crazy. It's, but it's doable. Okay. So the idea here was to, you know, for me is that part of my whys were, we have a nonprofit in Haiti called Child Hope International, and that's still very much a part of our lives and a focus of my efforts in trying to grow my portfolios, because I want to help out the activity that's been going on there since we started back in, 2004. That's a huge one. And a lot of times when I get discouraged, I think of those kids that, you know, I used to see sleeping under, you know, cardboard boxes and living in just abject poverty. It just break your heart. And that pretty much would get me up from my, you know, self-pitying to, okay, let's get on the phone and start doing something here. And the other part of it is my family. I'd probably say maybe the first priority is my family in terms of, you know, being able to provide the things for them that I've lived a life for 20 years. I was in the mission field and I was living by faith. And I mean, the great thing about living by faith is you have an overabundance of joy, but not always a lot of pocket change. But that's okay, because the joy makes up for sometimes the lack of material things. But you know, it's especially later in my life, especially I've got grandkids and so forth, I want to be able to help them out. I have four daughters. I have seven kids, four daughters, three of which are not married yet, that I'd love to be able to give them the wedding of their dreams. And I know you've heard me mention this before. And I've also got, kids that have educational goals and they're going to be buying first homes and things of that nature. And I want to be able to help them any way I can on that. So those are my whys. And when I start thinking about what I could do if I, you know, stick to this goal, then it really does help motivate you, move you on to the next step. And then you go on, you know, and putting this plan together besides your why, you've got your mission and vision, and then you start setting your goals. And I like to set, you know, quantifiable goals that really make sense. For example, let's say direct mail is one of my strategies to grow my portfolio. And I'm testing out and I find out, you know, 500 direct mail pieces, I can expect, you know, at least a 1% return or 50 responses. And out of those responses, I would hope to have maybe one possible sale. Oh, now that's pretty, I think that's an over realistic goal, but I'm trying to simplify it here. Just the idea of, you know, if in fact you do get one sale for every 500 mail pieces you send out, then you can start to figure out how long it'll take you to grow your portfolio. So, but the idea is to find those quantifiable goals and build that in. And you revise it as you go along, too. That's an important part of this process, is that you're constantly moving forward. Well, one thing that I noticed when I started off on my own and I was buying properties strictly by myself, just me, buying those properties, leveraging those properties, borrowing against them to buy bigger properties. I started to realize there's a certain point here where I'm either going to have to you know, extend that goal, or I'm going to have to figure a way to get into larger properties. Because as you start to double, you know, again, I talked about, you know, going for, you know, starting with four doors, the next year, 12 doors, the next year, 36 doors, the next year, 108, the next, you know, again, you're doubling, you know, and it's going up and up. You know, technically by 2019, I would have 972 doors. So in 2020, I wouldn't have to go as far. But the idea is that, boy, you know, if I've already got, you know, 300 doors and my next purchase has got to be 648 doors. Well, wow, that's huge. And most people aren't going to be able to do that by themselves. And that's what really sort of moved me into syndication, because I saw that there was a possibility there of working with others to obtain these properties. And granted, you're not going to be the sole beneficiary, but you're also not going to be taking on the sole risk either. I think there's a real advantage to working with other people, especially people more experienced, because, you know, I'm relatively a new guy for the most part, started in 2014. I really wanted to work with people that really knew their stuff and had done a lot of syndications. And that's really how I started to grow and to meet those goals of, you know, adding on enough units to make that ultimate 1,000. As time has gone on, I have shared with you some of the projects I've been involved with in Irving, Texas, 529 units. I'm doing senior living facilities, and we're doing those pretty aggressively. We're, you know, planning on doing anywhere from, you know, 4 to 8 a year. And those are right now, they're all about 92 units per. So I'm up to my late 900s right now. And it's, but I only have 2 months to go in 2020. So the question is, am I going to be able to make that 1,000 number before December 31st? And I am looking at apartments. I've actually got some that that may happen within the next couple of weeks. I don't know. But I am still moving forward with the senior living facilities too. So there is that possibility of getting to that point. So just wanted to update you, because some of you have asked me, hey, how you doing on your goal? I haven't heard anything. And it has been a while since I've responded. And I did have some frustrating years in there where I was unable to find projects and properties, but I've been able to partner with some great people as co-sponsor on these deals, and I'm able to get some great experience and work with professionals that I really admire, and their integrity and their work ethics. And we'll see what happens if I actually can make that goal. In the meantime, we'll try to keep you guys updated and let you know. That is it for today. It's a short one, but I wanted to just update you on my 1,000 by 2020 goal. If you guys want to check out the notes on this, I'll have some good links also to some of these podcasts I talked about too, as well as, you know, some of the numbers and how I crunched them and got to the point of the particular strategy that I used on this. So anyway, please note, everything I talked about here should be available in those show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled 1000 by 2020 Update. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.